What's up, beardos? You're listening to episode 213 of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't really answer your question first try. Not answering your question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talk about beards.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. You can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
In today's episode, we're going to do some follow-up, talk about what we've been eating, and then continue our winter break film review series with an in-depth look at Vegan 2019.
Happy New Year's, all you beautiful beardos out there.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone is waking up bright and early today, has said, this episode is available at 5 o'clock in the morning if you're on the East Coast, and I'm going to listen to it right at 5 a.m. January 1st.
Maybe people have stayed up all through the night just so they can hear this episode, Paul.
That's true. That's probably what most people are doing, if I had to guess.
So Paul, Vegan 2019 feels like a very fitting episode for us to start 2020 off of, because this has almost become a yearly tradition now of us reviewing this vegan series. I believe we definitely did 2017 and 2018 in the past. And it's a documentary that's kind of a look at the past year in... The documentary claims the last year in veganism. I would say a certain section of veganism for sure. But it's always interesting to see how this series progresses. And it is kind of a bit of a walk down memory lane of a lot of the stories and episodes that we have covered over the past year as well. So I think this will be a nice little capper for us.
And there was a couple, Andy, that I'm like, oh, like, did we not talk about this? We must have talked about this. I don't remember talking about this thing, and this seems like something we would have talked about.
Yeah, there's a couple in there that somehow it seemed like we missed. Maybe we were on break, or maybe we were just slacking. But there's a lot of interesting things to dig into in this one. I will say no more until we get to it, I guess.
All right.
All right, so just one quick announcement right now. Paul, I was just out at the Desert Veg Fest in Palm Desert, California, where I was privileged enough to speak on a panel with friends of the show, Chelsea Lincoln and Callie Coker. And we recreated the panel that we did at Portland Veg Fest. And we had put up a recording of that in the main podcast feed just as a bonus episode because, one, that audio quality, baby, it was... the best live recording quality we've ever had. And I was, you know, we were all very proud of it. But we recreated the panel at the Desert Veg Fest, and I didn't, you know, get a soundboard quality recording. I did just kind of throw my voice recorder on my phone up on the table while we were talking. But the panel yielded some different talking points. I talked for about twice as long as I did in the original one. The Q&A went differently than last time, and everyone had a little bit of a different angle. So I decided that we're just going to put that up on the Patreon, not as a paid thing. It's free for everybody, but it just won't be up in the main feed since it is a bit of a repeat of the panel we already put up. But I figured for people that are interested in seeing how these ideas progress and change over time, or maybe even just the artistic process of how like a speech can grow with feedback and whatnot, it might be interesting for some people. So that is up right now in our Patreon, which you can get to by going to thebeardvegans.com/beardo.
Right on. Andy, I feel like I haven't asked you this in a while. What have you been eating?
Well, Paul, I finally have an interesting response to that, or at least something new. It feels like I haven't really been venturing out into lots of restaurants lately, but my trip to the West Coast yielded a lot of new food ventures for me. So the first one that I want to talk about, both of the events I did that weekend, the Desert Veg Fest as well as Vegan Exchange LA, a food vendor was there, a food truck called Original Herbivore. And I got their fish and chips, which is a banana blossom fried fish and chips kind of dish. And Paul, I don't think I talked about this on the show, but I did post on our Instagram that I've had banana blossom fish and chips from a different food vendor. I will not name them because I was very much not a fan of what they put out. And I was bummed when I tried their version of it. because I had seen footage of this fish and chip shop. I think they just call them chip shops in the UK that was doing this vegan fish and chip. And it looked amazing. I was so let down when it wasn't great. But I'm happy to report that the fish and chips from Original Herbivore was fantastic.
So is it a banana that's replacing the fish?
It is a banana blossom, which is an entirely different eating experience than having a banana. Paul, texturally, it reminded me of jackfruit, actually. Mm-hmm. I do not know what the protein content is, so don't come at me. But it is kind of flaky. It's maybe a little bit more firm than what I remember, like a whitefish kind of, you know, sea creature would be. But the batter was fantastic. It came with this tartar sauce that they made, and they even served it on like a piece of newspaper with all the French fries. And it was really just fantastic. It was so good.
Is serving, like, this is me coming from a completely ignorant place, Andy. Is serving fish and chips on newspaper a thing? Because that seems like I've had, the only other time that I've had vegan fish and chips, it was also served to me on a newspaper, I believe.
I believe that is the traditional serving method, Paul.
Why? I just can't wait to get that nice ink flavor in my food.
Well, to be fair to Original Herbivore, it seems like they had one specific sheet of newspaper printed up, like custom printed, like serving paper. You know how like some places have like the checkered serving paper that they'll put like hamburgers and fries and stuff on. So there was no ink leached out onto my food, but it was a nice visual flair, Paul. You can see pictures of it on our Instagram. And then the other thing I will mention is that there was this new, as of maybe a year ago, food pop-up. I don't think they have a physical location, called Man Eating Plant, which is just a great name, Paul. Nice pun there. And they were the talk of the town at Vegan Street Fair this year, and I was not able to get anything from them, but everyone was raving about these chili garlic noodles, and I was finally able to get them, and it was the best thing I ate all weekend. They make their own noodles, and so if you are a big fan of, they're like thicker version of ramen noodles, just like really nice and chewy and just flavorful and so good, in this chili garlic sauce with lots of green onions on it and shiitake mushrooms and Chinese broccoli and organic bok choy. And it was phenomenal. It did not disappoint. It was so good. I cannot wait to return to Vegan Street Fair just so I can get that one specific dish.
Andy, did I tell you I had a ramen a couple weeks ago and I loved it?
Yeah. You did. And I'm not surprised because ramen is fantastic.
I feel like this ramen was fantastic. I'm still skeptical about ramen in general.
I would argue that the ramen that we had together was barely even ramen. The noodles, at the very least, were, I'm going to say this, Paul, bullshit. They were like wheat spaghetti. Like, that's not ramen noodles, in my opinion. I'm no expert. I know what I like, and what they were serving was not what I like.
Forget Vegan 2019. We're going to have a ramen discussion for the next 30 minutes.
All right. Let's wrap up the food. That was Original Herbivore and Man Eating Plant, which you can both find in Southern California at various pop-ups. Paul, I know that we are recording these episodes well in advance. To pull back the curtain, Paul and I are currently not in the year 2020 at this moment, but we do have a little bit of follow-up, one of which will seem very timely and the other of which will seem well past its due. But let's go with the timely one first. We did a whole episode on whether or not vegans should be considered a protected class, if they should have like civil rights protections, and all of that centered around this case of Jordi Kazmetyana, who was fired from his job, and he claims it was because he was vegan, and he was raising a big stink because the investment portfolio was investing in companies that he thought were unethical, and you know, there was a whole like issue around that, and he was telling his coworkers that they could drop the investment portfolio, etc. He was fired. He claims it was because he was vegan. It's been this whole long thing. And we just found out that case is finally going to court tomorrow, January 2nd and January 3rd. So I am very curious to see how this turns out, because it could have some big implications.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. It seems like this is in the UK, correct?
Correct.
Seems like you from watching Vegan 2019, Andy, seems like UK is doing a lot of stuff.
If from watching Vegan 2019, it seems like it's an avalanche of veganism and there's no stopping it now.
So this other bit of follow-up, Andy, this comes from arctimes.com.
Paul, this story broke 7 hours ago.
7 hours ago from when we are recording.
December
not
11th when we're recording it.
Yes. Judge blocks enforcement of Arkansas law restricting labeling of plant-based food.
Ooh.
Arkansas law.
Yeah, Paul, this is continuing the chronicle of so many cases we have talked about of the I would say desperate measure that a lot of the animal-based food industries, quote unquote food industries, are trying to prevent plant-based food companies from using terms like burger and bacon and sausage and things like that.
So let me read a little bit from this, Andy. Federal Judge Kristen Baker today issued a preliminary injunction against enforcement of the 2019 state law aimed at prohibiting the labeling of plant-based foods in any way that suggested they were similar to meat products. In a 34-page opinion, she found favor with arguments that laws are already on the books to prevent deceptive labeling and the company hasn't been cited under those laws. The new law isn't currently being enforced, she said, but it could be and thus presents potential for harm. She said she issued the injunction because the company would likely prevail in its argument that the law's restriction doesn't, quote, advance the stated government interest of protecting consumers from being misled or confused. Baker also cited Tofurky's argument that the state claims sovereign immunity from lawsuit, so should it enforce the law and cause damage to the company, it would have no way to seek money damages.
I think I like this Judge Kristen Baker. A 34-page opinion on this.
It's a lot of opinions about Tofurky. Of course, I could write...
Beard Vegans episode?
I could write hundreds of pages about Tofurky, about the gloriousness of Tofurky, but yes, no, this is good.
Kristen Baker pulls back the judge's robe to reveal that they were one of the five winners of the Tofurky shoes.
I thought you were going to say to reveal it's like... You and me, like one of us is on top of the other's shoulder and we're just
three
in a big...
children in a trench coat.
Yeah. Three children in a judge's robe.
Exactly.
All wearing Tofurky shoes.
It's you, me, and a Tofurky roast.
Goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I just a little bit of follow-up here. I think this is positive, obviously. It's been really interesting to see how this plays out, but I think that even though there have been some rulings in favor of animal agriculture, it seems like the vast majority are judges being like, this is ridiculous. And clearly no one is confused by these labelings.
An issue that is brought up, Andy, in Vegan 2019.
That's true. So with that said, Paul, I think we could probably just get right into it. And before we play the trailer, I'll say this. Vegan 2019 is available to watch for free on YouTube. It does not contain any graphic footage, in case anybody is wondering. And Paul.
Andy, I'm going to push back on that a tiny bit.
Of the graphic footage?
There's one part where there's those weird carnivore guys that are eating squirrels, and it blurs it out, but it like doesn't really blur it out.
It's a real half-assed blur. I will grant you that for sure. Okay, so there is minimal graphic footage that is partially obscured with a blur.
Ineffectively obscured with a blur.
Yes. Okay, so Paul, last time we did this review, I noted the length of these films has increased every time they've done one. So Vegan 2015, which I don't believe we reviewed, 23 minutes long. I bet you would have loved that film. Vegan 2016, 35 minutes long. Vegan 2017, 47 minutes long. Vegan 2018, 57 minutes long. And I posited that for Vegan 2019, we were going to see an hour and a half long film. And
much to which I shuddered at, Andy.
But I think much to your delight, we found that they reversed course. And this is a brief, a breezy 51 minutes. So if this is something that you are interested in seeing, so you can listen along to our review and our discussion about it, you can certainly pause the podcast now and go watch it. We'll put a link in the show notes. We'll, of course, talk a little bit about our general thoughts before we move into more of the nitpicky things. But of course, this is real life and this is the news that happened in the past year. So there's not really much to spoil. And with that said, Paul, let's get right to our review of Vegan 2019.
In 2019, humanity received a warning. 30 of the world's leading scientists released the results of a massive 3-year study into global agriculture and declared that meat production is destroying our planet and jeopardizing global health.
We have been faced simultaneously with a series of humongous existential crises. Climate breakdown, ecological cascading collapse, the disappearance of insects.
We are in the midst of the 6th mass extinction, and the extinction rate is up to 10,000 times faster than what is considered normal, with up to 200 species becoming extinct.
All right, Paul. So Vegan 2019, brief plot synopsis here, takes a deep dive into the growth of the vegan movement over the last 12 months, featuring events, people, and cultural moments from the world of celebrity, sport, food, and film. And this film, Paul, was produced by Plant-Based News. It's directed by Klaus Mitchell, who is one of the two main people that run Plant-Based News. And notable about this time around, previously, it had just been an online streaming release, but this year they did an actual film premiere in London, Los Angeles, and Beijing. So this film has been growing over time. I would say the production value has certainly increased every year that they've done this.
Andy, do you know what is, so you said Klaus Mitchell is a part of Plant-Based News, but Plant-Based News, as far as I know, as far as it says at the end of this film, has only been around for 3 years. So were these people just kind of making this on their own for Vegan 2015 and 2016?
Paul, I don't really know the answer to that question, but I could have sworn Plant-Based News has been around longer than that. And in fact, Vegan 2015 is hosted on the Plant-Based News YouTube channel. So I was a little thrown by that when at the end of this film, they have a thing saying Plant-Based News was 3 years old.
When they had that weird thing at the end where it was 5 minutes of just essentially the movie again, interspersed with like clips of Plant-Based News is 3 years old. And then it would just be news clips and like, this is just the movie again.
Yeah.
Veganism is growing in popularity. Plant-Based News, 3 years old. Beyond Meat, out this year. Plant-Based News, 3 years old.
So when I said the movie was 51 minutes long, it's probably more like 48 minutes long if you cut out all that stuff at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, Paul.
Let's talk about this, Andy.
This film, I don't know how much you remember about previous vegan films. By that, I mean Vegan 2017, 2018. But this is a film series that we've been critiquing and talking about. I think the most interesting aspect of this film series is us been asking, well, who exactly is this for? In addition to how is it presenting these certain issues? And we can certainly get into all of that. But before we do, what did you think about the overall viewing experience of watching the short and sweet 51 minutes of Vegan 2019?
Like like you already said, I thought the production quality has just increased every single year. It certainly, I thought, did not lack in quality at all. I think that, you know, Andy, as people who knew about most of this stuff just from talking about it, like I think it didn't have, for the two of us, it wouldn't have the wow factor that it may have for someone who did not know about these things. And I even pointed out right before we at the beginning of this episode, Andy, that there were a couple things where I was like, oh, we missed that part. I didn't know that. And I can imagine that for many people, like that might be how it feels watching the majority of the movie. You know, it's like, okay, people are aware of the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger and these things, but maybe they don't know about some of these other things that are happening. And I can't imagine that it would be kind of exciting. And I think coupled with the fact that there's, like you mentioned there, this film had premieres, I imagine that those premieres were kind of like vegan rallies. And so it's like, yes. I could see how this movie, not that it, certainly Andy, not that it doesn't have nits to pick, but I could see how this movie, and we've talked about this in the past ones, is almost like a pep rally for vegans to be like, hey, great job this year. Let's kick butt next year, you know? So I think in that sense, of course, not without critiques, but I think in that sense, I think it does a pretty good job of having that tone and keeping that vibe. I do think, I don't remember if the previous ones did this or not, but I do think they acknowledge some of the like pushback from the meat industry and some of the like the less fun stuff. For instance, they talk about the what we were just talking about with Tofurky. They talk a little bit about the meat industry trying to, you know, pass these laws to make it so that veggie burgers can't be called burgers and those sorts of things. So it's like, I do appreciate that it wasn't all just like flowers and sunshine, that like they talk about some of that, the negative stuff. They talk about that like carnivore movement. So I thought it was very well done, and you know, I wasn't bored at all. It was a brisk 51 minutes, as you pointed out. So yeah, I would say good job, Vegan 2019.
Yeah, I found myself being pretty entertained by this whole thing. I think that you are 100% correct that the theatrical viewings of these films were probably vegan rallies. It was probably one giant pat on the back. And like, if there's anything I know about vegans from going to the animal rights conference, is that vegans love a nice giant pat on the back. This film reminded me, it was both like the film version of plant-based news, although I would argue that this film was a little bit more critical of things than the average plant-based news article is, because they did insert a few moments of being critical of, for instance, vegan consumerism, while still very much touting the benefits of vegan consumerism. I want to put a pin in that, definitely talk about that. But it definitely acts as like a, hey, we're doing a great job. Everybody's awesome. Everything is awesome. Next year's our year, which I feel like I've been hearing that every year since I've gone vegan or since I've been involved in activism. And every animal rights conference and even some smaller events I've done, it always seems like the closing speaker is someone that's like, here is all the victories that we have had in this past year. And they're often listing things like, we got, you know, Beyond Burgers in all of these establishments, and the Impossible is here, and these low-level farm workers were prosecuted, and these low-level farm workers were prosecuted, and we're doing a great job. And so this film is both a film version of what you get from plant-based news, which is obviously no surprise since it's the people that run plant-based news, and they have their view on what is worth putting out into the world, what's worth making newsworthy. And it's also that same version of, hey, look at all this cool stuff that's happened in the vegan or at the very least plant-based world. And for what it's trying to be, I think it's a pretty good version of that, but it definitely is a very, I even want to say narrow, because I feel like they widened up their scope a little bit this time from what I remember, but it definitely is not celebrating activists that much, if that makes sense. Like, it's a lot of like sort of corporate accomplishments. It's a lot of film accomplishments. It's a lot of celebrity accomplishments. There was, you know, talk of Extinction Rebellion, very uncritical talk of Extinction Rebellion in this film, but it definitely seems like it kind of like left out, you know, all like a lot of the grassroots activism that's happening, a lot of maybe more critical or more inclusive activism. And, you know, so it's definitely a film that has its specific vision. It kind of has its blinders on in terms of, we are talking about these things specifically. We're not talking about everything. And maybe one can't fault them for saying, this is what we want to talk about. I mean, like, we do that on our show. There's obviously tons of things that happen in the vegan world that we, for one reason or another, even if it's just due to time constraints, decide this is not worth us talking about. So perhaps we can't fault them for that. But I don't think it necessarily presented the most well-rounded version of or depiction of everything that happened in the vegan world. But I get that if it's trying to be that rallying cry, if it's trying to be that, hey, vegans are doing a great job, you should stay vegan. And as we know, recidivism rates are supposedly very high within veganism. So maybe we need films like this. Because I was perusing the comments a little bit, and there was people that said, like, you know, this is really motivational to me and inspirational to me. And so maybe we need something like this. But for what it was trying to be, and the fairest thing to do is to critique what it's trying to be, I thought it did a pretty solid job of doing that.
Yeah. And I mean, Andy, obviously you and I would want to see more of these like grassroots activism achievements being promoted on this. And I do want to push back a little bit, because in addition to Extinction Rebellion, like they talked about, you know, environmental protests and those sorts of things. So there was like some activist stuff, but at the same time, and again, like this is a different, like, of course this is being put out by Plant-Based News. And if we look at Plant-Based News, it's like, they're not covering a lot of the like smaller grassroots organization achievements throughout the year. So it's like, why would they put it in their movie at the end? Yeah. And the one thing that I will give them credit for, I feel like there was less celebrity, like, and then this celebrity went vegan and then this celebrity went vegan. I felt there was less of that this time around, which I think is good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although, I think that they did put, like, even though I don't directly say it, they sort of position the viewer to assume certain people, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, for instance, are vegan when they're not.
They also, yeah, yes, you were correct. And they also did the thing where they said, it made it seem like people went vegan this year, like Joaquin Phoenix, who yes. have clearly been vegan for a long time.
So, Paul, when I say that this is the film, like the cinematic version of Plant-Based News, I mean that in every regard, including what you just mentioned there, which is that they are, I don't even want to say, I guess it's dishonest, but it certainly, I think, in a lot of ways stretches the truth or sensationalizes things that shouldn't be sensationalized and made into these big headlines. So, for instance, you know, we had that whole episode that was like, why is this news? And some of the articles we critiqued the most, that was like, hey, this dude tweeted at this dude and he was like, oh yeah, I guess I could try eating plants. And then all of a sudden it's a headline.
Yeah.
Those specific articles were touted in this film.
Yes. Yes.
And it just felt like there was a lot of things that were manipulative like that. Because like you said, Paul, with Joaquin Phoenix, they said all these people announced they were vegan. They list a bunch of people, including Joaquin Phoenix, some of which I did just find out this year that they are vegan, or they decide that they're going vegan. But like, even there was times when they said something and then what they showed on the screen directly contradicted that. So when they're talking about the Game Changers, they said, you know, after the film was released, a big shift occurred. And right after, they show a clip of Stephanie Rice, who's talking about, like, you know, being vegan and whatever. But the little like bottom scroll says Stephanie Rice has been vegan for 5 years. So clearly she's been vegan since well before the Game Changers came out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they lead you, and I'm sure there's so many other examples of people that like were interested in plant-based eating after the Game Changers came out. It's like, why choose something that has evidence that directly contradicts what is actually being said on the screen right now?
To play devil's advocate, Andy, and just to their credit, I cannot imagine how much work it takes to make a news clip movie that is 51 minutes long like this, perusing hundreds and thousands of hours of news stories and film and news footage. So it's like, I'm willing to cut them some slack. And they were just like, this is the person that we have, and she's mentioning Game Changers and talking about being vegan. For the love of God, I've been up for 3 days straight. Please, let's just use this one.
So, I mean, Paul, I agree with you. Certainly putting together anything is no small feat. I do think, though, that since this is their, you know, this is Plant-Based News' bread and butter, I would guess that the process of putting this film together is not, oh crap, we have a month, now we got to go through all this. I think it's throughout the year, as things come up, they're like, oh, we should save that and use that in the documentary. Still, no small feat. And of course, obviously, figuring out how to assemble them and how to put them along a nice, you know, as stops on a nice road trip, so to speak, with that roadmap that I love. That is no small feat, but it also feels like as a company who their full-time jobs are to be aware of what's going on, I think that it's not quite the feat that you are saying it is.
Maybe.
Another thing, Paul, that I'll say on this line of the narrator saying something and then what's on the screen directly contradicts it, They say universities are ditching meat, but then all the headlines they show just talk about universities ditching red meat. And so it makes it sound like universities are getting rid of animal flesh altogether, but really they're just removing one item off of their menu, or like one type of item off, like a subsection of meat off of their menu, which again, you're like, okay, I guess it's not like you could say removing meat doesn't necessarily mean removing all meat, I guess, but it feels a little dishonest. Then right after that, they say entertainment companies are going vegan, and they show the headline about how Disneyland's adding a bunch of vegan options. And it's like, they're not going vegan. They're adding a bunch of vegan options. And so it just felt like there's a lot of things in this film that, as people who examine the vegan news and we know the nuances and know how certain things were misreported or the nuances weren't discussed, it felt like there was a lot of that. You know, of course, there was the huge section on the Amazon fires and the correlation to consuming animal products. And obviously, we did our full episode on that. And it just felt like there is so much of that throughout that for anyone that's critically thinking about these things or has any knowledge of these subjects, that the film loses a little bit of its, or even maybe a lot of bit of its punch, because it makes you go, what else are they stretching the truth on? Or what else are they being a little bit dishonest or, you know, flexible on their reporting?
Yeah, no, I understand that. And I think I do agree with that assessment. Andy, you know, you mentioned up roadmaps. Speaking of a roadmap, do you think this movie had a roadmap?
Not really.
Yeah, me neither.
it felt, even though it was very tightly edited, it really just kind of felt like the film just started. You know, it didn't feel like there was like a nice introduction. Like there kind of was, but it just didn't feel like there was a thesis statement at the beginning of the film. It just kind of like plops you down in and then it just hops from subject to subject to subject. And the most organized fashion is that it will bring up a subject and then maybe perhaps bring up a response to it by other vegans. Rarely they did that, but they did that occasionally. Or they would bring up but despite the increase in plant-based options, this is how the industry responded, or, you know, things like that. That's like the most organized that it felt, but otherwise it did just kind of feel like, here's a bunch of stuff.
Although now that I think about it, it may have been going in chronological order, ? Because there were parts where it would be like, it didn't do this always, but it would be like August. And then it'd be like, oh, okay, we're in August now. And then,
Paul, did it do it any other time than August?
I think it did. I think it did at least one other time.
I don't remember it. And I remember when August happened, I was like, huh, okay. I could be totally wrong. I could have been looking away from the screen at that time. But it did feel like they only did that in August.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe the organization was that they were going in chronological order, but it seemed like they should have maybe. Well, I will say that there were, anytime they gave like a news, anytime they had a news heading, they would usually give the date because it would look like a little like fake newspaper and there would be the date. So you could kind of piece that together. But yeah, I guess that wouldn't really qualify as a roadmap.
Yeah. I assume that it's organized roughly chronological, but when they hit kind of a major talking point, oh, these are the laws that are being passed, they probably then group together several things that happen throughout the year for that one section and then move along again chronologically until the next major talking point.
Yeah. So, no, I think that is correct, Andy.
Yeah. And that, I guess that seems like a logical way to do it. But yeah, I just kind of wish that there was a little bit more of a introduction and thesis statement, as it were, to really make it easy to follow. But I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like hard to follow necessarily, but I think that it could have been a more satisfying watch if they were guiding you along a little bit more.
Maybe it doesn't really need a thesis though. If the point of it is just to be like, let's celebrate the victories, I guess a thesis would be nice because it can kind of help you say, all right, and this is what we're going to do next, which I feel like this one didn't. I didn't feel even though I know it would, it certainly is going to be motivating to a lot of people, to a lot of vegans, I feel like it didn't really say like, and this is what we're going to do in 2020. You know, like at the end of this one, they said like, yeah, vegan, they said 2019 was going to be, we said at the beginning of the year, it was going to be the year of the vegan, but they didn't really say like, okay, now what are we going to do in 2020? 2019 was the year of the vegan. What's 2020 then?
Paul, it's going to be the year of the vegan also.
But do you know what I mean? It didn't really feel like they gave, and again, I don't think this was the purpose of the movie, but it didn't do a lot of looking ahead. Let's see what we can look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I think, oh, yes, Paul. Paul's the raising one, his finger one, in contempt.
The one thing that they did say we can look forward to is that I believe a Leonardo DiCaprio vegan movie.
Eating Our Way to Extinction. Didn't that come out already?
Oh, it's in the thing. It said coming out 2020.
Part of me is like, did we review it?
No, I don't believe so. I would remember that Leo money.
Yeah. And I think that's another case of Leo get tacked on towards the end as executive producer. I don't think he had that much to do with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're right, Paul. It definitely didn't give us a lot of, here's what you, the viewer, can do to ensure that 2020 is the continuation of the year of the vegan. Or they could have said it's going to be the decade of the vegan.
Here's what you can do to make sure we have a lot to talk about in next year's movie.
Yeah. Paul, I did think one of the most interesting parts of this film was the fact that they did this whole section on the rise of plant-based options, especially like just being like, oh God, oh, plant-based burgers, God, they're so great, Impossible and beyond. And I was all ready to be like, this film's very consumerist. But then they do talk about how bad plastic is and packaging. And it was weird because they started off by saying, but some people said these were really processed. And so I thought it was about to go into the backlash against the burgers from non-vegans, which we never really talked about on the show, but you know, there's a lot of articles that came out there like, it's better for the planet, but is it healthy? You know, as if a burger is ever going to be really healthy. But instead it was talking about like vegans and like veganic farming and permaculture and things like that. And I thought that that was really interesting because I think that really flies in the face of the very consumerist angle that plant-based news and so many of the other mainstream news outlets like have. You know, a lot of them basically act as like a promotional arm of the plant-based food industry. And to see something that was somewhat critical of that in this documentary was a bit refreshing. And of course, they included the section of the speech from Greta Thunberg about, you know, fairy tales of eternal economic growth, you know, which is a critique of capitalism, of course. So it was interesting to see that those were included in this film as being like responses to other parts of the film. And it, I guess it does make you wonder, which position does plant-based news actually endorse?
I wish that they spent a little bit more time on that veganic farming business, because it, and again, this is like not the purpose of this movie, but it almost just seemed like it was like, oh yeah, and some people are critical of this, and so here's this other thing. But I didn't really feel like I got a great kind of understanding of it. And again, there was so much to talk about. So I mean, I guess it makes sense that they, I'm glad, I guess I should be glad that they gave it any sort of time.
Yeah.
But it didn't, I guess Andy, my point in bringing this up is it feels less of, it's just not super nuanced. It's just kind of like, yeah, there are people against it. That's these people over here. Give them their couple minutes and then we'll move on to the next thing.
And instead now back of like to the Beyond Burger. Oh God, it's so good.
But
yeah, it felt very again, obligatory.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I'm glad that they put it in there, because it, you know, in previous years, maybe that would be something that they would not have put in, because it doesn't go kind of along with a lot of the other stuff that they are usually promoting. But yeah, it wasn't, I mean, and again, it's like, maybe I shouldn't be expecting them to have this, like, to have a conversation about the ethics of these two things being in opposition to each other in this relatively, I guess, light movie.
Yeah, I think that is a welcome change for me, though, that there is a bit more of a acknowledgement of a lack of like universality in the views of veganism, which I, if I remember correctly, it's not something that I really got from previous versions in this series, but I did get a sense of have your cake and eat it too, like ness about it in previous things. Cause I think in previous installments, there was much more of a focus on health, and it was, you know, all these people touting the benefits of a whole food plant-based diet in one section. And then the next section talking about how amazing the Beyond Burger is, which is obviously not a health food necessarily. And that's, I mean, that's something that I think a lot of vegan documentaries suffer from. And even like Veg Fest, you know, you have all these people on stage talking about how horrible, you know, some of these plant-based alternatives are. They're like, it's just as bad as meat. But then you go out into the festival and no one's, for the most part, people aren't selling salads and acai bowls. They're selling burgers and donuts and quadruple cheeseburgers and all this really decadent, luxurious food. And yeah. And it's this weird, people think they can have it all. And I guess dietarily you can, like you can indulge occasionally or as much as you want, I guess, and still eat salads and whatnot. But it does feel like something that previous versions of this series and certainly lots of vegan entities haven't really wrestled with in a meaningful way yet.
But did you, so if I'm understanding you correctly, did you think that this specific edition of the film of this series did harp on that stuff? Because I actually thought that they did not talk about health stuff as much as these things tend to do.
Yeah, no. I think I said that there's way less of it in this one.
Yeah.
There was like just a very short kind of little health section, which briefly fat shamey and then kind of quickly moved on. They talked about the changing of the Canadian food guide. And yeah, I felt like the health aspect, they kind of pushed that over into talking about Game Changers a little bit, which was much more about like athletic performance as opposed to like body size and blood pressure and things like that.
But even like talking about the Canadian thing, you know, that they kind of framed that, the changing of the dietary guidelines, they framed that conversation as like in opposition to the big meat and dairy industries. And they talked about how it's like, oh yeah, in previous years, the meat and dairy industries, they had a part in putting these things together. But now it's like, now someone said like, it's the first time that they're creating this dietary guidelines based off of actual evidence. So I felt like that was a very productive element that they included, where it wasn't focusing on health per se, it was focusing on the influence of these big industries.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what I was saying, is that they talked a little bit about that, but then they kind of quickly moved on to like, I think a better version of the health talk.
Was the fat shamey part, Andy, that just that one part where that guy is yelling at Carson Daly?
Yes. Carson Obesity. Daly looks a little uncomfortable in that clip.
Yeah. I thought that was the one part too for me that jumped up. Well, there was two parts, that part, and then early on there was a part where it was like, I forget what they said, it's like, oh, but not everyone is willing to make the changes to a vegan diet or something like that, and it just chooses to show like people eating fast food, like meat. And it's like, of course, it's larger people eating these fast food things that they're choosing to show as like the bad example.
Yeah. I made note of that, and I guess I wanted to just, I shouldn't, but give them the benefit of the doubt that like this was just the most compelling shot, you know, time lapse shot of people eating fast food. But of course, everything is a choice. And I guess I was like, I just don't want my experience to be soured by this. It was much more soured by seeing Logan Paul.
That's what I was going to say too. I was like, because I feel like in general, Andy, in general, I didn't think they had, this also goes along with the fact that I don't believe they were focusing as much on celebrities. Like there was one kind of very short clump. And this is when we were saying like Joaquin Phoenix, and they show Natalie Portman, and there's this one very small clump where they just kind of like, all right, we got to do the celebrity part. Let's bang it out right now. And they just go through all these celebrities and saying like vegan, vegan, vegan. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I assumed that there was going to be a lot of that, and that's really not that much. But then, yeah, at the close to the close of the movie, there's that shot of Logan Paul. And I was like, oh, definitely. I mean, this is besides the point, but is he even vegan? ?
He is not vegan now. I don't know if you remember when we talked about him going vegan briefly on the show.
I do remember that. Yeah. And I thought that he was no longer vegan. And yeah. Then it's just like, why even include him?
Yeah. I mean, it just defies any like rational thinking, I think, to include him in the film. Like I get that he's huge amongst a certain sect of the population, but he's no Arnold Schwarzenegger where you're like, well, he's not really vegan, but he has such star power that it's really going to mean something, you know. Like I don't endorse making people assume that Arnie is vegan either, but I can understand them going like, we're going to make this sacrifice. Cause what else? There was some other, was it Eating You Alive that had Samuel L. Jackson in it? And it was just really weird because he is vegan now, but at the time he was not. We've just seen a few movies where they have big names in it just because it's good for the credit roll, but not because they're actually vegan.
Yeah, I think in that movie, Samuel Jackson acknowledges that he's not vegan as well.
Yes, okay. So, yeah, it feels like a cheap trick to me.
Yeah. I guess I'm less upset with them including Arnold though, because obviously they had to report on Game Changers because that was it was such a huge deal, and he was such a huge deal surrounding that,
yeah.
You know? So I it made sense to me why they included him, but yeah, there were certainly others that I felt was a little bit more deceptive. I also thought it was interesting when Arnold and Greta were, when there was that kind of joint interview with them, and I was like, I wonder if she hates him.
Well, the thing is, he was like, the politicians aren't doing anything. And he can probably say that because he's not a politician now, but she's probably sitting there thinking, you didn't do jack shit when you were a politician. So yeah. At least in regards to this issue.
For sure. But although Andy, to give Arnold the benefit of the doubt, I guess, you know, people can change, and we want people to change. And in this regard, it seems like he has made a genuine shift in attitude in this aspect. So.
Well, I can tell you what he didn't make, and that's another good Terminator movie. Because the latest one kind of stunk.
Should we review that next?
Oh, God. No. That would be such a bummer.
You got anything else, Andy?
What did you make about the whole section on the carnivore diet and vegan pushback? I know you brought up the graphic nature of that, but did you have any thoughts on the, like, why include that section?
Here's what I thought. I thought that there was going to be a kind of like wrap up to it. And that was going to be someone saying like, yeah. And then this guy like threw up a bunch and got really sick because he's eating red meat all the time. And there wasn't. And so it confused me a little bit at first because I was like, well, why are they including this? If it doesn't, it certainly doesn't make veganism, I guess, look good, just by the nature of including it. But then at the same time, I was like, well, I guess this is some journalistic integrity. We are reporting on the pushback, and this is quite literally the exact opposite of the thing that we are trying to go for. So I guess it was some sort of journalistic honesty, and I did appreciate that, and I appreciated them reporting on that. I will say the one little jab that they got in there was they very briefly show the guy getting arrested at the end, and I thought that even though I did want some wrap up, that was not the wrap up that I wanted because it was just kind of out of context, and I was like, I don't know what the situation is. I don't know why this guy is getting arrested. And even though it's like, yeah, he seems like a real crummy person. Like I'm not just going to applaud someone getting arrested for, I have no idea why, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought the reason for that inclusion was essentially to say, look how bad meat eaters look. Like, look what you look like when you're defending the eating of animal flesh. I think that that's a tactic that we see, you know, like the protests where people go in with the intention of inciting a very negative reaction from the, you know, the non-vegan, and then they can put it out and be like, look who you're siding with if you side with non-vegans. Obviously this specific pushback is like very bizarre. You know, they're looking for that fight. They're coming to the vegan spaces. So it's not quite the same, but it certainly makes it look pretty ridiculous for them to be antagonizing vegans in that way. And I think even non-vegans are kind of like, what are you doing, bro?
Well, then I was confused as to why they didn't include, and Andy, the answer to this might possibly be it was not in 2019 and it was in fact in 2018 because they include, what's his name? Pierce Morgan a lot.
Yeah. They sure make him look like a turd.
They do. But wasn't there like a really big incident with him where he like threatened someone or something like that, like a vegan?
I don't remember. All I know is that he's been popping up so much. It feels like he's trying to be Arby's now. Like Arby's is like, well, we see how the tide is turning, but we know we can go, we got the meats, and still desperately maintain some section of the population that's not willing to change and adapt with the times. And it feels like he's saying, well, I can like go real hard on being anti-vegan and get a dedicated small following, and that's how I can maintain relevancy. Because there's no way he actually ate that sausage roll and had to puke it up when everybody around him's like, yeah, this is pretty good. I wouldn't even know.
Yeah. Yeah. I did appreciate when Gordon Ramsay told him to fuck off, though.
That was the highlight of the film. That was great.
Maybe I just did a quick Google, and maybe I'm wrong. I thought there was some news outlet, some news person that got in like hot water for like threatening someone that was vegan or something like that. And it might not have been him. So I guess I may have been incorrect in saying, hey, you should have included this thing, because it might not have been him. But they certainly did make him look bad.
Yeah. I mean, I guess one could argue that he makes himself look bad.
Him and Tucker Carlson.
God. You know, I thought they were going to show Gene Bauer on Fox News. That happened this year, right? Or was that last year?
That may have happened. Andy, that may have happened last year. That may have been, I believe, in the Vegan 2018 movie. No.
All right. Paul, I did not have the patience to go listen to our previous reviews of this this series.
I will say, though, that there was... What did we just review yesterday? Animal People.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Tucker Carlson viewing, a showing up in that, like applauding, being on the side of vegans in that movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know. And then the Gene Bauer thing, he was also, so I guess he doesn't look like a big old goofball all the time.
Just 95% of the time. So, Paul, I guess let's wrap it up just by asking, even though we've touched on it briefly, who is this for? Would you recommend other people watch it?
Andy, I think that this is, it's a decent way, I would say, if you had no idea what happened in vegan news in the last year. I think it's a decent way to like very quickly catch up on it. In that sense, I would say if that's what you're looking for, yeah, go watch this thing. You'll get up to date on all like the really big stuff pretty quickly. I don't think I would recommend it for anyone that's not vegan, because I don't, even though it might be providing kind of this rallying cry for vegans, I don't think it's something that, and I don't think it was intended to, I don't think it's something that is going to get people to go vegan or get people on board with being vegan, or even like, I don't think it would even get people to be like, oh, this is the big cool movement. I better hop on board with this. I don't think that it would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would be the worst thing for a non-vegan to see. But I think the film is definitely banking on people going, look at all these celebrities, and I don't want to be left behind. I want to be a, you know, not necessarily an early adapter, but like a midterm adapter of like veganism. And so, yeah, but it's not the thing that I'm like, everybody, you need to go watch this. It will change your mind on veganism.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment, Andy.
You know, but I don't, I think this is probably the best version of this series that we've seen thus far.
And for that reason, Andy, kudos to them for, you know, improving on it every year.
Yeah, for sure. And I thought that I was coming into this conversation going, is this going to be an interesting conversation to have since these films all kind of feel a little bit samey over time? But I feel like it actually brought up some interesting points, or we were able to squeeze some interesting points out of this discussion. And I guess the tradition shall continue for 2020.
Maybe, Andy, maybe we won't even need it in 2020, because maybe everyone will just be vegan by the end of 2020. And it won't be called plant-based news, Andy. It'll just be called news.
One can hope. It's very hopeful of you, Paul.
But if you want, dear listener, if you want to get your opinion heard, send us in. Send us in what you think. Did you watch Vegan 2019? Did you have a similar view as us? Did you have differing views than us? Let us know. You can email those thoughts, questions, or concerns into thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. And I hope everyone's having a wonderful new year.
Me too. I hope everyone uses this time to hang out with some friends and family if you can. Reflect on what you want to do with your life moving forward.
Let's start off this 2020 strong. And Andy, speaking of going strong, I think you're going to be at some cool places going strong.
I'll certainly be going like medium strength at least.
I'll allow it.
I will say my first event of this year is coming up in 1 month, and it is the Sactown Veg Fest in Sacramento, California. So that's all I'm going to plug for now, but I'm excited to be doing lots of California events, and you can find all of those up on my clothing lines website, compassionco.com, and come look for the galaxy, the blue and purple galaxy swirl backdrop and tablecloth, and say what's up, Beardo, and I'll hook you up with a button or sticker. Maybe we can chat for a little bit.
Did you say galaxy-themed squirrel backdrop, Andy?
I got to work on that. It's a squirrel swirl. Paul, I understand that a film like this can only include so much that obviously not everything that happened in the vegan world is going to be covered in this film. But it feels like they could have made the film like 5 seconds longer to include the epic moment when you say the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off. So should it enforce the law and cause damage to the company, it would have no way to seek... This is a hard sentence, Andy.
It's a rough sentence that I don't entirely know what it means, but... Before we play the trailer here, it was...
Happy New Year. Stay fit, keep sharp, make good decisions.